Church, we'd like to welcome our visitors this morning. If this is the first time that you're visiting with us, or the first time in a long time that you're visiting with us, would you please look at the chair located directly in front of you? There's a visitor's card there. If you'd please fill that out, drop that in the offering plate as it passes by, we would appreciate it. We'd love to have a record of your attendance with us this morning. I'd like to put a plug in for a new Sunday school class. Walking in the Light, that's L.G. Smith's class. We're meeting in room 7. There's also going to be a ladies' class that's going to be starting the 17th of this month, which is Encouraging Disciples. It'll be by Amy Cresswell, who's going to instruct that class. I want to invite you to come to our Wednesday night prayer meeting, okay? We normally have a prayer list in the bulletin. These are the folks that, whether they're church members or non-church members, that someone hasn't expressed that there's a need for prayer in their life. And so we pray for them, and we also break open the Bible and we share God's Word, which is always important anytime that you meet. You see this beautiful quilt over here? That's going to be raffled off. The raffle tickets are $5 a ticket. Once we get up to $500, we're going to raffle that quilt off. You can contact Sarah Goldwater. She's right back there waving her hand. She has the tickets. And so the faster we reach $500, the faster someone will get to take that beautiful quilt home with them. There's going to be a short meeting this morning. You're going to meet up front or in the back? Up front? Okay. This is for the women's meeting today. If you're interested in attending that overnight retreat, it's going to be January 22nd and 23rd. The Armor of God, I think, is the title of that retreat. She's going to have some more information for you about that, so just meet right up here after the service. Let me run the room assignments down real quickly for you since there's been a little bit of shuffling around. Room 1 is the nursery. That's the 1-year-olds. Room 2 is for 2 and 3-year-olds. Room 3 is the children's worship. Room 4 is for the youth. Room 5 is the pastor's class. Room 6 is Encouraging Disciples. That's going to be Amy's class. Room 7 is LG's class, Walking in the Light. Room 9 is the 4th grade through 6th grade classes. Room 11 is the 1st through 3rd grade classes. Room 12 is for 4 and 5-year-olds. And the conference room is Bert Smith's class. That's for adults married. I know where I'm going. In January of 2000, the leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina, invited their favorite son, Billy Graham, to a luncheon in his honor. He was initially hesitant to accept the invitation because of his Parkinson's disease that he struggles with. But the leader said, "We don't expect a major address. Just come, let us honor you." And so he finally agreed to that. When he got there, they shared some wonderful things about Billy. And then he stepped up to the rostrum and began to speak. He looked out at the cloud. He says, "I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the great physicist who this month was named Time Magazine's Man of the Century. Einstein was traveling once from Princeton on the train. As the train pulled out of the station, the conductor made his way and began to punch everyone's tickets. When he got to Albert Einstein, Einstein reached in his vest pocket looking for his ticket. He didn't have it there. He reached into his pants pocket and looked for it. He didn't find it there. He opened his briefcase anxiously and looked for it. It wasn't there. He looked on the seat beside him. It wasn't there. The conductor came up and he says, "Dr. Einstein," he says, "don't worry about it." He says, "I know who you are." He says, "Matter of fact, we all know who you are. I know you bought a ticket, so just relax and don't worry about it. Everything's all right." The conductor continued on, and he continued punching tickets down the side of the train. When he got to the back and was fixing to go through that door and enter into the next car, he looked back behind him, and Albert Einstein is down there on his hands and knees, searching underneath his seat, looking for his ticket. The conductor hurriedly made his way back there. He says, "Dr. Einstein, Dr. Einstein," he says, "don't worry about it." He says, I know who you are. I know you bought a ticket. He says, don't worry about it. It's okay. He says, young man, he says, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. Okay, and having said that, Dr. Graham continued. He says, you see this suit that I'm wearing? He says, my children and grandchildren have told me that I'm dressing kind of slovenly in my old age. I used to be a lot more fastidious than I am today. So I went out and I purchased this suit. I bought this suit for two occasions. The first occasion was to wear at this luncheon here today. The second occasion is this is the suit that I'm going to wear when I'm dead and buried. Now, he says, when you hear that I've died, I don't want you to remember this suit that I'm wearing. What I want you to know is that I know who I am and I know where I'm going.
You just to worship with us. We invite you just to let loose. I don't know what you brought into this year. I don't know what you brought into this building, but we're here to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. It's just that straightforward. No matter where you've been, where you've come from, what's going on, turn your eyes on Him. He's gracious and merciful and loving. I'm going to pray for us as the band begins to lead us in worship. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory because all the grace comes from you. You are worthy. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Breath you gave. with us, y'all.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
Savior, our Messiah. You know, in gospel songs, you have some songs that's, what you call, I've heard people say they call them horizontal songs, singing about God. And you got your vertical songs. That's singing directly to God. That's what this one here is, Unfailing Love. The first line of this song said, you have my heart, and I am yours forever. Does he have your heart?
My home, and I am yours forever. You are.
Bible tells us you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And being born again is accepting Jesus Christ, believing in him, put him in your heart, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and then you're born again. And then there's going to be a change. I've seen people over the years, they say, I've accepted Jesus, but there's never been a change in their life. The Holy Spirit comes in your life, it is going to make a change in your life. Search your hearts. Make sure that you have been born again.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years, and the man that I saw wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. Well, I was lost when you found me here, and I was broken beyond repair. Then you came along and you sang your song over me. It feels like I'm born again. It feels like I'm living for the very first time. For the very first time in my life.
Amen. Is there a song going on now? I'm early, but I felt compelled to say, praise God that I'm born again. And I don't know if that song hits you, but it hit me. I'm going to go back in my seat now.
Jesus come, Jesus come.
Jesus, come. Jesus, come.
Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for this day that you blessed us with, God. We thank you so much to be able to come here in this building, God, that you finally allowed us to have this Christ Community Church. We praise you, Lord, for that. Lord Jesus, fill our heart in here this morning. Your Holy Spirit, come to us, Lord. We need you. We want you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. That's the ending prayer of the whole Bible in the book of Revelation is come, Jesus come. And the bride, the church, is who's praying it. You know, this isn't about us getting everything perfect. It's about us inviting the perfect one here. And we ought to take that to heart. All right, kiddos, y'all ready? Ready? One through six. At kindergarten and the ones who go with Nani through sixth grade, ready? Break. Oh, y'all are stuck with me. I like it. I trust everybody had a good New Year. You're here, right? We're glad that you're here. We miss those who aren't here. Be sure to tell George we miss him. And I know that he misses being with us. And we've have others who aren't here for various reasons, traveling and different things and sickness, and so we miss them too, but we're glad for who's here too, okay? And we love those of our family who aren't able to be here this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 1, and we're just going to have a good time. I have a head cold, and for some reason God decided to get me feeling all emotional this morning, so if I cry and slobber, just ignore me, push on through all those things, okay? But we're gonna talk about how we can make 2006 a grace big year. Just being big in the grace of God, leaning fully on it, coming to appreciate God's grace, coming to choose God and His graciousness toward us as the focus of our year, as the focus of our efforts, as everything that we hope for, let it be found in Him. There's going to be all kind of messages, all kind of things to distract us, to take our attention this year, just like every other year. There's going to be stuff vying for the affection and the love and the attention due God and God alone. But if this is going to be a big year of grace, and somewhere we've got to say, that's where it's at. God is where it's at. Christ is where it's at. And I want my mind, I want my heart, my will, my choices, my affections, my attention, just to dwell on Him. We're going to look at one of the great grace passages. Matter of fact, this year, I hope, I don't know for how long or how many messages in a row, we're going to do what God tells us to do from the pulpit. You can be assured of that. But I'm looking forward to preaching a lot of messages that highlight the grace of God and just going one after another until we get, like this passage just says, grace on top of grace on top of grace. Listen to the Word of God, John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, which is, I'm going to read all 18. I can't help it. It's just hard. We're going to focus on 14 to 18, but we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for today and allowing us to be in fellowship with one another, in the hearing of your word, the singing of your praises. Thank you, Lord, as we start and flip the calendar another time, allowing us to recalibrate ourselves, not to our own heart's will and desire. Help us, Father, to realign ourselves with you, to seek you truly. There's a lot of ways to do that. Help us, Father, to not rest until we seek you and receive fullness in your name. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I felt a little bit loud. Was I a little loud? I felt a little loud. There's a lot of things that you can look at this year. There's going to be a lot of things vying for your attention. Things in your, just even in your mind, things that you think about, things that you look at, things that you long for. But I can tell you right now, this year, if it's going to be a grace big year for you, you need to behold the only begotten Son of God, his glory and his grace. So if this is going to be a big year for you, let me just advise you, turn your eyes on Christ. In verse 14, it says that word that was in the beginning, that was with God and was God and created all things. It says he became flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, a one-of-a-kind, unique glory. And although we don't see Christ in the flesh, I'm going to tell you, when you turn your mind upon Christ, when you consider the description from the Word about who Jesus Christ is, you will find an unsurpassed glory. I don't know what your dream is. I don't know what your dream house looks like. But if you're like me and my wife, we can spend some time thinking about what our dream house will look like. I don't know what kind of car would be your, you know, most fascinating car. You know, the car that's status symbol car that says you've arrived. I don't know if that for you is a Mercedes-Benz or if it's one of those pickup trucks that costs more than your house. I don't know. I don't know what it is for you. But I can tell you this, the glory that's combined in those things, contained in those things, can't hold a candle to what promise you and I have in Jesus Christ. What are you going to look at? What are you going to aim for? What are you going to hope for? What's going to enthrall you this year that really makes you go, whoo-wee? Now look, we just got through bowl season, right? And you know, we had a Sugar Bowl appearance that was pretty dynamite. You know, old MSU did good. Everybody in Mississippi did good. Now Michigan, it's a kind of a different story. I mean, the Wolverines did fine, but you know, Michigan State had a lot of pressure, and boy, did they crumble. Johnny, I appreciate you not harassing me about that. Anyway, you know, it's got me saying "Roll Tide" with my teeth clenched. Roll Tide, Roll Tide. But you know what? There's bigger things than that. The glory of bowl games. You know, the glory of a bowl game is already finished. If your team did well, it's done. They had their chance. They had their shot. This year, they'll have to redo it all over again. It doesn't matter what you did in that sense. But what has Christ done? When we look on him and we see what he's done, we see an unending glory, an unfading crown. We see a victory that keeps having win after win after win in your life and my life. Oh, that's what I want to focus on. I don't want to be enthralled by the material things of this world. I don't want to be enthralled just in the relational things in this world or the things that you know, go to my own appetite of indulgence and different things that I think I can have that or that makes me feel good or whatever it is. Man, I don't want to be caught up in that another year. I don't want to, how much time should we allow for our flesh to control our focus this year? How long should we sit at the feet of lust this year? How much time are you going to allot for things that bring death and destruction to be before your eyes this year? How far are you going to go down the road that leads to nowhere, and you already know it leads to nowhere, with before you turn around and say, I'm going to put my eyes and my direction in a different way? Let this year be a big grace year where we decide that we're going to look on to Christ. And can I tell you, you'll make the decision, but the strength still won't be your own. It's so hard to look unto Christ. He's glorious. In chapter 3 of the book of John, where we just read from, we go a little further, it says, men did not like the fact that Christ came because it revealed that their deeds were done in darkness. And men loved the darkness rather than the light. In other words, we're like critters that have been living in a cage or a cave, and it's been hard on our eyes to look at the light of Christ, because then our own actions indeed become implicated as sinful, as falling short. And we don't want to look at that. We don't ever want to think we fall short. Can I say this? I fall short. I fall short. And yet, I'm going to try not to let my eyes be offended by the perfect light of God, because I don't see it as something that's blinding me like a light of interrogation. I see it like a lighthouse that's saving me. I see it like the light that I need to avoid falling into the pitfalls that I've been falling into, or banging my head against the same walls I've been banging into. Oh, I want you to look on Christ. Behold His glory and His grace. He's got the glory of the only begotten of the Father, unique, and He has grace. We'll come on that word again and listen to the word that accompanies it. Full of grace. Christ is full of grace. You'll never tap His resource of grace. You'll never come to Christ. You'll never look to Christ and say, do you still have enough grace to save me? Do you still have enough love to love me? Do you still have enough strength to help me? And Him say, I'm sorry, all out today. You'll have to go somewhere else. That's never going to happen. He's full of grace. Can you imagine? We think of things, how full is the Pacific Ocean? Well, in that way and more, Jesus Christ is full of grace. Can you imagine somebody coming and say, oh, you know, we have a problem. The ocean is empty. What do you mean the ocean is empty? Well, the ocean may get empty someday, but Christ won't be empty of grace ever. He's full of grace for you and me, and we need to look to it. Not only do we need to look unto Christ, we need to listen. We need to listen for His testimony. We need to listen for the Word of God. We need to listen for the grace of God, the Word about God, listen to the Word of God. We need to train our ears to hear the message of Christ so that we're not fooled by any other doctrine, so that we're not, you know, I was going to say hornswoggled. Is that a word that we can use? You're not hornswoggled. Doc, is that a word, hornswoggled? No. What it means is being duped. That we're not duped, not even by ourselves. You know, one of the worst deceptions, one of the worst messages that we hear so often is from ourselves. You ever get sick of yourself? You ever get mad at yourself? You ever dog out yourself? You ever just talk bad about yourself? You ever just do that, and that message keeps echoing and repeating until all of a sudden it's like written in your script that you're a loser, that you're no good, that things can never be workable again, that relationships can never be mended, that this can never happen. Oh, be so skeptical of the word never. That doesn't include God. You know, when they say this could never work, This relationship could never be better. This can never happen. That's not the message. That's not the message of God. That's not the word of God. Listen, there's two testimonies here given. One about Christ, and then the testimony that Christ himself gives. In verse 15, it says, John, speaking of John the Baptist, the first cousin of Jesus, he speaks, he says, look, this Jesus, he was preferred before me. He's above me. He's better than I am. He's higher up. He's the one we ought to focus on. Let me tell you, the word of God, the message of God, lifts up Jesus Christ. It doesn't lift up a religion. It doesn't lift up a denomination. It doesn't lift up a particular church. It doesn't lift up a particular preacher or a particular style of thing. I hear so many people, they're willing to endure Christianity and preaching as long as it's their style, as long as it's somebody who, you know, makes them feel happy about them. Can I tell you, lock on to the message of Christ. Rejoice wherever you hear it, however you hear it. It's more rare than you may think, and it's more precious than you can imagine. Lock on to it. It lifts up Christ. And if your heart isn't about lifting up Christ, and your ears don't hear lifting up Christ, then you need an adjustment. You need to get yourself back in square with him. Because there's going to be all kind of messages. It's an election year. And you know what I can say, straight-faced? Most all of it's going to be lying junk. And they're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to invest your mind and to doctrinate your mind with lying junk. But the message of Christ spoken by sickly preachers, it might come across a little softer, might not be on all the airways, even when it claims to be the message of Christ. You listen. Is Christ lifted up? That's what John the Baptist did. He put Christ above him. He didn't tell everybody just a different way or a better way or a way that you can be lifted up. Let me ease your pain. Let me give you a balm that makes your soul feel better about you. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about you. His message was about Christ. Can I tell you, the best thing for us is Christ. God has our best in mind. But that doesn't mean that we turn out fancy pants and rich and problem-free. You're going to hear all kind of things about this person's right and this person's wrong, and they're right for our country and they're wrong for our country, and we're going to make America this and, well, we're going to make America that and blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell you, your vote for president is important. It is. As Americans, we're responsible. But can I tell you, listening to the message of Christ and applying it to your life is 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, world into a place that reflects the glory of Christ. The church has, and Christ is our way. He's our message, and we've got to receive the message, hear it, and just let her rip. He doesn't say you're all right. He says he loves you. Can I tell you that's so much better? I'm afraid of those people who love me because they think I'm a good guy. I'm afraid of those guys who love me because they think I do good works as a preacher. I'm afraid of those whose affection and attention come to me because they think something of me when the reality is they don't know me like he knows me. And if they did, oh, they would be so gone. They would so run me off. But Christ tried to run him off. His message is, I know exactly who you are. I'm preferred above you, but I still love you. I've still come to save you. I want you to be mine. I know about your addiction. I know about your anger. I know about your perverted lust. I know about the overindulgence. I know how you can't control your credit card. I know how you can't do any of these things that are right and good, but I love you. I love you. I love you. Do you hear the message of Christ? So powerful, so strong. We need to be listening for him because his message, well, changes everything. Now, that was the message about Christ. Consider Christ's message. What did he come to say and do? Verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. What was His message? He came to declare a loving Father God. I was going to preach a message from the Old Testament today, way back in the beginning, back in Genesis, but we'll get that another time. But one of the reasons why I wanted to preach that is because God has been so maligned, as if He were some mean ogre in the Old Testament, as if He was some horrific, terrible tyrant of a God. And now He's got this real nice facelift in Christ, and He's a new God somehow. Come on, that's so naive. God is God. Christ came to declare that the gracious God who is the gracious God who was, and the gracious God who will always be. That's the message of Christ. He shows the Father to us. From what position? In this position of a slave? Is Christ, the Holy Son of God, afraid of His Father? No, He's in the bosom of the Father. What greater message in picture than that? He's just there. And what does He do? He declares Him. This word declare is one of the great words that preachers use when they study preaching. What does it mean to be a preacher? This word means to unpack it, to reveal it, to show it. That's what Christ came to do. He came to unpack and reveal and to show the Father to us. And what's He like? He likes you. He loves you. He's gracious and kind. Not because you've earned it or are perfect. It's because of Him. What a difference that makes. Not because you have all this potential to be some kind of Christian church rock star someday. Woo! Everybody wants to be the flash in the pan, the 15 minutes of fame. Oh, that God can make me be. He loves you not for your potential. How do you know what potential you have anyway? Before I left, the 3 weeks before I left, I did 3 funerals. 2 we kind of saw coming. 1 was a car accident. We didn't see it coming. Wasn't anybody in our church? Nobody saw it coming. Their pastor, who they had, wasn't even in town. I mean, you couldn't even schedule the pastor for that one. So I had to preach that one. What potential do you have? What do you have besides right now? What can you do besides take the message of Christ and glory in Him? Come on. It's never been about you. It's never been about me. It's always been about Him. He who came before me, He's preferred above me because He is above me. Lift up Christ. Hear Him speak of the Father and worship. Glory in Him. As far as practical things, and it comes to listening to the message, listening to the testimony of God, you know, I was trying to think of some practical things. If you're going to make this a grace big year, just big in the grace of God, what could you do practically? When you hear, and every time you hear Christ being lifted up, give thanks. Give thanks. This is one of the most practical things I could think you could do. I hope to give you a lot of reason to give thanks from this pulpit over this coming year and my time here. However long that is in Christ, I hope to give you thanks or give you reason to give thanks because you can lift up Christ because you heard the message. Not about how good you can be, not how much you can accomplish, but that God in Christ has done it all. And everything we do now is just gravy on top. It's icing on the cake. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. His unfailing love. Did y'all catch that song? His unfailing love is beautiful. Isn't it? Isn't he? That sounds like something. Isn't he lovely? Anyways, I think it goes the other way, but when we speak of God, He is lovely. He is beautiful. And every time you hear the message, and it's not some kind of weird human hand-me-down self-effort thing, but you hear God lifted up, give thanks to God. That'd be a great way to have a great practical step for this whole year. Lastly, we need to live. We need to look to Christ. We need to listen for His message, His testimony. Then we just need to live it. Oh, live from the fullness of grace provided by Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, "And of His fullness we have all received grace for grace." And grace for grace. The commentators don't even know what that means. It's just an emphasis. It's just a piling up. It's just a plethora. It's just saying, look, there is so much grace, we can't say it one time. It just has to be grace for grace for grace that you and I get to live under the name of Christ. That's it. We've received from Him. Because there's no other way to get grace, by the way. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't, you know, just walk upon it. It has to be given. Grace is a gift. It's a gift from God, and He gives it out two-handed, just piling it out. It's awesome what God has for us. But then it's just a matter of us living it. You know, this is, if you're born again, live like it. We can have all these different practical things going on. You need to read your Bible more. You probably do. You need to pray more. Yeah. You need to go to church more. Right on. You need to tithe more. Amen. You need to do this more and that more. Great. Do it. Bless God. But let me tell you something. You just need to live a born-again life with a born-again witness. That's what we need. We've received grace to live. That word received, it plays pretty big in the passage that I've read to you. It says, and we've received of His fullness. We've all received and grace for grace. But if we go back up into this passage and we go to verse 11, it says, He came to His own, but they did not receive Him. They did not receive the grace for grace and the gift and the fullness. They just didn't. They didn't believe. They didn't believe He could be all that. They didn't believe He could be the one. So they didn't receive. In verse 12 and 13, we hear a different story. Same word, different story. But as many as received, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to be children of God. And you know what I like about children? Not everything. Especially I'm looking at, well, now he's looking at me. Now I'm in a staring contest with my oldest child. I won. And I don't like everything, but you know, they're just them. They just are living. They don't, for the most part, they got to learn how to put on pretense stuff. For the most part, they're just them. If they like to do this, that's what they do. If they do this, that's what they do. Somehow the children of God, we just got to do what we do as children of God. Just live life to the full. Oh, I think that there's folks waiting. Not that it's incumbent on us. They've got to make their decisions. But I believe there's folks who watch you and me, watch our church, and wonder, is it real? Do they really love Him? Do they really live for Him? Do they really believe what they say? Have they really received a grace gift that's made them so thankful that it runs their life? Not ruins their life. It runs it. It enthralls them. It captures them. Have you received from the fullness of God? Have you been born again? I'm not going to give you five things that you got to do. I'm not going to say this and this and this. Just live. Because if you've been born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And I know what He wants to do. He wants to lift up Christ. He wants to live the will of God every day through you. Just live. Just give yourself the freedom to step out and be a happy, joyful, Spirit-filled, God-loving Christian. And watch how grace and grace just pours out. It's not for me to just tell you this and this and this. Just get with God. Get with God through Christ. His fullness will never end. His grace is everlasting. And He loves you so much. Just live for Him. That's all. Father, thank You for how You love us. Thank You for this day. Again, just that we can be here in this new building, which to me I think is a grace gift. Thank You for all that have contributed in faith. There's another
matter of grace, but Lord, the great prize isn't that we would win some church contest. It's not that we would build huge things. Solomon built huge things and he found it in vanity. The whole thing is that we would draw near to you, to identify with you, be filled with the fullness of your grace and accomplish your will in our lives here. Not our greatest, wildest desire, not our potential, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven through Christ Community Church, through the preaching of the word, through those who have received the grace of being born again. Help us, Father, to live it. Oh, we love you, Lord. We look for a grace big year this year. Help us, Father, to indulge in it, to indulge ourselves not in our own fancy, not in our own fantasies, but in the grace of God that never fails. We love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going to have a time, this is a time of invitation. I don't know what your plans are for this year. I don't know what you're dealing with, what you came from. But I'm going to tell you this. Christ is the answer. His grace is a healing grace, and it's available to you. If you need to give your life to Christ and surrender to Him, maybe you have been one who has not received Him, and you need to receive Him. You can. This place is open. You can pray where you are. You can come up and pray with me. You can kneel down on these steps and pray. If you just need to say, God, I heard your message. I've been so bound up in everything from debt to too big an appetite, whatever it is. Can I tell you this year, don't focus on your waistline. Focus on Christ. Everything falls in the line. If your focus is somewhere else, bring it back today. You can do that from your seat. You can do it up here, whatever. The invitation this time is yours, okay? Do whatever God tells you to do.
Thank you.
great message in that invitation song, and it just stands. You know, it'll be there. He'll be there. I'm going to ask our ushers if they'd come forward for the morning offering. As I try not to cough in the microphone. Father God, thank you for how you love us. And Lord, I pray that as we take up this offering this morning, Lord, I thank you for just the gift. I thank you for providing our needs that we might give. It's more blessed to give than receive. And so, Lord, I thank you for the blessing. And Lord, I pray that in all this year that our needs would be met. We know they are by grace through you. And we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's on again. There we go. Ladies, there's a meeting over here by the tree. I'm not even going to tell you what for, in case you're a lady and you don't know what it's for. Just go over there and find out. That's the way we do. We just loop you in there. And then there's the dancing praise with Lauren. That's going to be going on between 2 and 3 today. So if you have your little girls in the dancing praise, that's going on, practicing from 2 to 3. And I think that's it. Hey, I love y'all. Yes, ma'am. We got donuts for sale. In case your New Year's resolution did not involve stop eating donuts. There you go. They're ministry donuts. So if you don't want them, buy them and give them away. There's some people out there who aren't afraid of carbs right now. Find them. Find skinny people and give them donuts. It's not me, obviously. Love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Father God, we pray in Jesus' name that you'd send us out of here filled with the fullness of your grace and help us, Lord, to ever rest in your goodness. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break.